Jesus' holy name. If you agree, would you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Come on, give me a better shout than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, amen. Praise God. High five somebody and please, you can be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'll take it back. Hear me, brother. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. Now, this morning, I want to begin, you know, something that I've been looking forward to. I guess I look forward to all of God's word. But, you know, there winds up, I guess, being kind of different moments, different seasons for different things. And this is a moment in time and season for what you've heard announced, a time to refresh. Because, you know, things happen in life. Things happen to us. We do things that are self-inflicted. I don't know about you, I've self-inflicted myself a whole lot of times. Anyone else willing to be honest? Really hurt myself. And then, of course, if you don't do a good job of hurting yourself and seems like somebody else, you know, figures out a way to help you so that they can hurt you. And if you don't watch it, you can wind up going through life never in the full kind of experience of joy and peace that God designed for you to have. It's really amazing, unfortunate, the number of people that live in some form of depression, discouragement, or what we would call defeat. And God's heart has always been, for his creation to be lifted, for his creation to experience life the way that he designed it, defined it, created it to be. So we want to get into some things this morning. We're going to start something, and I'm prayerful that I get through this particular portion this morning because there's more and more good stuff to come because I want to layer this, and I believe if we layer it properly and we lean in on this, it will help us tremendously. My heart, and I hope you understand this, my heart is never just for spiritual inspiration. I think that has hurt so much of the church because individuals kind of look for a sense of inspiration. Inspiration doesn't last long. And I don't know if you realize it or not, a lot of times the problems and issues that we're dealing with, they seem like they can last a long time. And sometimes can outlast your inspiration. Inspiration is just not enough. So Acts chapter 3, verse 19 is kind of our core scripture on this. It says this, so repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. Oh, I like that. Recovering from the effects of heat. Reviving with fresh air. I don't know if you've ever been caught in kind of a stale place or a smoky room or something of that nature. You get a whole new appreciation for fresh air when you get out into it then. Because you couldn't breathe right. Couldn't live right. And God says, my heart's desire for all of creation, whether you're Christian or not Christian, is to live in a place where you could have fresh air, be recovered from the effects of heat or hardship in life. And then, of course, he starts off by saying, you know, the pathway to do this is you repent. Now, repentance is not, you know, feeling bad. Repentance is changing your mind, changing your purpose, changing your intention, changing your aim. It says, in turn, you know, back to God. See, at the end of the day, you know, if you're like many, I know here at 8:30, you know, many are here, you're Christian, born again just like me. And you'd have to be honest that there's times in your Christian experience that you turned away from God. Now, we don't necessarily like to say it that way, but when God said go right and you went left, you turned from God. When God said hold your mouth and you spoke anyway, you turned from God. You have to ask yourself a question. What happened? What happened? What happened? God says, well, if you want to understand what happened and you want to correct it, you have to change your mind. You have to change your purpose. It says, and when a sense of recovering and refreshing will happen, he says, because my presence shows up. Now watch this. I want you to think of God's presence not in this kind of spiritual sense of, okay, the presence of the Lord came and filled the room, you know, the Shekinah glory. Yeah, praise God for that. That's wonderful. I'm talking about, and I believe if we really put this in here hard, I'm talking about now how the presence of God shows up because you begin to adopt his thoughts. The presence of God hits the most critical part of you. It's your mind. Because you start to think what God says. Your emotions try to kick against it, but you say, no, I'm embracing the presence. So here, John chapter 13, verse 34 says, you know, love just like I've been loved. You're embracing his presence. And when we embrace his presence, specifically, watch this, I'm talking about right here, there's a refreshing that comes. Refresh, matter of fact, notes-wise, I didn't go through that whole spiel today, but I hope you all got it. Refresh, Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines it as to restore strength and animation. To restore strength and animation, to update or renew. Some good synonyms to the word refresh are revive, restore, revitalize, recharge, renew, rejuvenate, or regenerate, praise God, or even repair. We start talking about refresh. And God wants all of us to live, watch this, in a constant state of refreshment every single day. If I can put it this way, you and I shouldn't have a down day. Now, if we would be honest, we'd probably have to admit that hadn't been the case. We'd probably have to admit today is September the 9th, that maybe all 9 days in September you haven't had up days. May have had a down day already this month. Well, what's going on? Well, the key to it is what we've seen here in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Let's get the presence of God on the scene. He brings refreshing. But how do you get the presence there? Right here, the thoughts that we begin to take in. So here's where we're going in this series. These are some questions that I want us to be able to answer for all of our individual lives. How do we make our future better than our past? All of us have a past, good, bad, or indifferent. How do we make our future better than the past? How do we make sure our painful past doesn't show up in our future? All of us have had some stuff in our past that hurt a lot. And if you don't watch it, it can carry right over into your future. How do we make sure that the next time is not like the last time? And I'm telling you, 2007, I'd like to kick myself. Because the Spirit of God told me in no uncertain terms, says, son, this is not a good time to buy. Talking about property. To the point, I ministered to the church at the time. I said, you know what? Spirit of God shared this. I'm going to share it with you too. And that was 2006. I remember it was the latter part of 2006. And kept looking at things, where we were living. We were in an apartment and so forth at that particular time. And just trying to work on this. Finally, decided, we came across this townhome that we paid what I consider at least an extraordinary amount of money, more than what it was worth. It was a nice townhome. It really was. Two stories. It was nice. Three bedroom, 2.5 bath, had a little, loft area too. It was a nice townhome, but it wasn't worth what we had to pay for it because the market was sky then. Then, of course, many of you all know about a year later, everything fell, and what we paid for it, now that thing was worth literally half of that at best. And the only thing I could say to myself was, I knew it. But did I really? Because I didn't follow through in what the Spirit of God said. Thank God for his goodness when you repent. God can still bring good out of any situation. But here it is now, 10 years or so later, and looking at, you know, doing some other purchasing. How do I make sure that this next time is not just like the last time? And this is what I want us to be able to get into. One thing that you have to understand, and this is a fill-in in your notes, desire by itself is not enough. So just wanting it to be different doesn't do anything. You can want it a whole lot. That doesn't do anything. In order for the next time to be better than the last time, we must renew our mind, and that takes time. See, there's decisions that you and I shouldn't make until we spend enough time to change our thinking. Amen. Thank you for that one delayed amen. There are decisions we shouldn't make. See, I use that as a house. It may be a relationship for you. Yeah. You know, your life has been a series of horrible relationships. And it's just like, you know, I always get, you know, connected with these horrible, you know, men or women or whatever the case may be. Okay, maybe they had some issues, but the common denominator in every one of those relationships is you. This brings me to something, and I'm going to get to it, not today, that we got to stop lying to ourselves. We have to do a much better job of being honest with ourselves. Because if you can't be honest with yourself, you can never properly change your thinking. So desire is not enough. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we looked at this on this past Wednesday night. This is just like one of my favorite scriptures. I love it. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Come on, say it with me. I'm a transformer. Absolutely. We're not this cookie cutter. You don't want to follow that little cookie cutter pattern and just think like what everybody else thinking. No, no, no. We transform into what God thinks. It said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. Now, here's the thing about transformation, and I think a lot of times we miss this. Transformation would not work well if you don't strip off the old and get rid of it. Anyone in here, you know, that has done some painting before, you understand the concept that if you go in that room and just paint over the paint that's there without properly doing something, that old paint will eventually bleed through and cause the new paint to peel. Hence, what you are left with after a period of time is worse than what you know, started to try to renew. A lot of times in our thinking, we do that in terms of trying to transform. We want to take in what God is saying, but we're just putting it on top of what we've always believed. And see, given enough time, what you've really always believed will bleed through. And at the end of the day, it'll be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and you look up and you really still believe and think just like you did 5 years before, even though you've exposed yourself to good stuff. You got to strip it. You got to strip it. And see, that's where we, one, again, have to be honest with ourselves, and two, we got to defeat that monster called pride. Amen. And strip that stuff off. Apply some primer. No, don't mix any paint with it yet. You need the 100% pure primer to cover over the old, to get rid of the old before you start trying to apply the new. Because if you don't, eventually, over a process of time, and watch this, I can identify with myself times where this happened, old thinking just came right back in. And I bet you could probably think of some people, too, where, you know, just like, man, you know, they kind of started one way, everything looked like it was going a certain way, and then all of a sudden it was like a rubber band, pop. Snap right back, and it was just like they always had been. What's going on there? Not that they weren't sincere, not that they didn't desire things. It's just the fact that they failed to deal with what was there originally. You got to strip that off. You got to get rid of it. You know, there are people in life that, you know, I stand amazed at. Many of y'all are familiar with Donnie McClurkin, you know, gospel singer. And it's just a blessing to me when I hear him talk about his testimony. The fact that he was raped by a man twice. Two different men, as a matter of fact. I think one when he was very young, and another, you know, some years, you know, beyond that. If you see his life and his ministry today, you'd never known that was in his past. How does that happen? How does someone go through something that is clearly horrific, but still come into what many would call an amazing life? Or here's another kind of what I'll call historical figure. The prime minister, probably the most notable prime minister that England has had, Winston Churchill. If it's not for his bravery and stance, Adolf Hitler probably would have taken over the known world. We'd all probably be speaking German right now. But he stood up and he refused to give in and not fight against this tyranny. But if you look into his past, everybody considered him an absolute, if I'll just use this term, kind of buffoon, ignorant. He was held back in school twice. That's what we call flunk. Twice. And teachers was like, this, I mean, he is so unintelligent, it's just not funny. How does someone go from can't pass grade school, two different grades, to now becoming the prime minister that will be remembered in history? You may have a story that's similar. I have a story that's similar, where there's been stuff that's happened in your past, but now things look much brighter. What's the real difference maker? And that's where, you know, you have to come to a place where you decide to move on. Whatever has happened in that past, however horrific it may have been done to you or that you did to yourself, you have to decide, I'm going to move on. Desire is not enough. Eventually, you have to decide. And I believe with you know, cases like this, Donnie McClurkin, Winston Churchill, and so many others, I believe if you talk to individuals, you will find this common thread. Everybody just made a decision. I'm moving on. You have to do it. You have to do it. Watch this. If times of refreshing are going to come, you have to decide to move on, praise God. So answer this for me. How long do you plan to allow the people who mistreated you to influence you? You have to answer the question. Or I'll ask you this one. How far into your future do you intend to carry the suffering created in your past? How much further are you going to take it? And I've been, you know, in full-time ministry. I've been in ministry for, dear God, I don't know how long. And I've heard some stories where, you know, quite frankly, I almost wanted to tell the person, you are all right to be mad. What was done to you? Hey, the rest of us, you know, we probably need to get over it. But you just be mad, and I think God understands. I mean, that emotionally, that's what I wanted to say. But I knew that really wasn't truth. And some of y'all could probably think of some people, and you may have been a person like that, where, you know, certain things happened, and it was absolutely horrific. Tragic. But you got to answer the question, though. How far in the future do I want to take that into my life? Because at the end of the day, it is affecting you. We can paint new scriptures over the top of it, but it's still affecting you, and it continues to bleed through. It bleeds through, and now in marriages, in new relationships, it bleeds through on the job, it bleeds through in churches, it bleeds through. And you start asking yourself even, what's wrong with me? Well, there's really nothing wrong with you other than the fact that you haven't decided to really move on. Just make a decision. If you don't watch it, if you don't make the decision, the people that have hurt us in the past follow us right into our future. I mean, to the point, it's like they camouflage themselves in our emotions in the memory of the event. And they're right there in our lives, continuing to hurt us. Oh, refresh. You see this on the notes for you. My past will remind me, but it will not define me. Amen. Come on, say it with me. Say, my past will remind me, but it will not define me. So let your past inform your decisions. Don't let it control it. Yeah, let it inform it. All of us should learn from the past. All of us should learn from it. But do not, by any circumstances, let it control it. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. It says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. New International Version says it plainly this way. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Now, first thing you got to understand here is that anger in and of itself is not sin. But the moment, watch this, the moment your anger or your emotions take over your reasoning, your judgment, and your decisions, sin is born. And this is what now the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost is trying to communicate here. Look, you may be justified in being angry right now, and that's fine, but don't allow that anger, that emotion now to take over your reasoning, take over your judgment, take over your intellect, take over your will, because when that happens, sin is born. And then he tells us something. He says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So in other words, you know, what he's saying, a lot of times we get fixated on the sun going down. What he's trying to encourage us is get rid of it. Don't harbor it. Don't keep traveling with it. And the wisdom he's trying to give here is do it quickly. Do it quickly so it doesn't mess up another day. Come on, we've all had those moments in a day and something happened, you got mad, and dear God, the rest of your day was done. Come on now, you're half talking to anybody in the house, you didn't kick the dog, the cat is hiding from you. I mean, nobody want to deal with you right now. It's just a rough day. Okay, that one got away from us. But don't take it into the next day. Don't let it happen. And so you have to understand something, that we can control this. That's why he says, don't let. Come on, you can control this. Come on, say it with me. I can control this. Yes, you can. You can control it. You can control it. Most certainly you can. You can control it. He says, but watch this. If you don't control it, he says, look what happens here. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Oh, my goodness. Foothold, you know, literally kind of means an opportunity here. But specifically, the Greek word that is translated from literally means a place or a landmass, or think of it this way, kind of a staging ground. Said anger helps to set up a staging ground for the devil to reach into your future now. A staging ground it has to be able to now set up and bring catastrophe and hurt to your future. Just like what you experienced in your past. But here's the thing you have to understand, too, about what's translated here. The term devil, most of the time we see that and we're just thinking the devil. But that's not really the case here. Because there's a different Greek word. Paul uses it several times. Jesus uses it several times. You know, a different Greek word, satanas, which is referring to Satan, the devil. That's not the word that's used here. I won't go into it in real, you know, a whole lot of depth, but this is the Greek word diablos. Now, people commonly, again, translate it as the devil, but it has a much broader meaning, you know, than just simply, you know, the one in a red jumpsuit and pitchfork. As a matter of fact, it's translated throughout the New Testament in various ways. You can go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3, where it talks about in perilous times, these type of people will come. And one of them is false accusers, the King James says. Some translations say slanderers. It's the same Greek word, diablos. And Diablos literally means, you know, a slanderer or someone who kind of renders a repeated attack against you. In an effort to obviously cause harm, but harm specifically to kind of ruin your sense of confidence and esteem and your reputation. So when you think about what's being said here, it says anger gives a foothold, a staging ground for someone to repeatedly hurt you. You could really even read this if you wanted to this way. Whoever the person that hurt you, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to that person. You're giving that person a staging ground to keep hurting you time and time and time again. Don't allow the people that hurt you in your past to smuggle their issues into your future. They hurt you in the past. I get it. Been hurt before. But if you allow anger to set in and have that sense of justification in it, you are giving them a staging ground to continue to torment you. And we can't refresh. Doesn't matter. Listen. It does not matter the scripture you apply. You got to strip something first. And in this case, you got to strip the anger. So answer this. Do we really want to give the person who hurt us the most a permanent place in our lives to continue to hurt us? Everybody, anybody in their right mind would say no. But people do it because they determine, I'm going to stay mad. And I've had people, you know, sit up in a service like this and you know, on the inside say, like, I don't care what you're saying. I'm never going to let that go. You're being tormented. You're being tormented, and you don't even realize it in your thinking, because you're thinking, when I ask a question like this, you know, how long are you going to let this person continue to do it? Everybody's just like, oh, I'm done. I'm not going to let that happen. But you won't repent. You got to change your mind. You got to strip some stuff. You got to let it go. Come on, say it with me. Say, I got to let it go. Let me ask you this. Why hold on to something that has the potential of killing everything that is valuable to you? Do you understand? Holding on to anger about what happened will destroy your current relationships. Marriage will continue to have friction. You'll never come to a place of real connection with your children. The workplace will always be an odd place. And it's all because we're holding on to something. The only way, somebody say only. So this is not one of many. The only way to break the connection that your past has on your present and your future is to forgive. It is the only way. Now, people try to skirt around it all the time. But you have to forgive. It's the only way to break the connection that your past is doing right now with your present and your future. And you keep saying to yourself, as things keep happening the same way every time, you keep saying to yourself, I don't understand, you know, what's wrong? Well, this is just how I am. No, it's not. It's not how you were created. And for those of us in here today that are born again, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. You are a brand new person. You're not even the person that you were when you got hurt. So stop lying to yourself. And understand the truth of who you really are. And the only way now we're going to break this thing is we have to bona fide, legitimately forgive. Let it go. Let's keep reading right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 31 says, get rid of. Now listen, God never tells us, encourages us to do anything that he hadn't already equipped us to do. So if God is asking you to do it, telling you to do it, then God said, you capable of doing it. get rid of all bitterness, not some, all bitterness. Get rid of all rage. Get rid of all anger. Get rid of all harsh words. Get rid of all slander. Have you ever just met people that just seemed like they was always mad? Always mad. Always mad. And in many cases, people are dealing with some pain, you know, from their past. Some individuals live in a constant state of frustration. I've seen this one up close and personal. Constant state of frustration. And as a result, it manifests in a sense of bitterness, rage. It's just a matter of time before it comes out. God tells us, though, get rid of that. Get rid of it. It says, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Come on now, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now forgive in its simplest terms means to pardon. Pardon is really to release someone who is absolutely guilty, but you now choose not to hold them accountable. So it's not a question of whether they did you wrong. Everybody on the planet agrees you've been done wrong. But a pardon says, I let it go. I'm not holding that against you. I'm not holding that against you, and I'm not treating you any different. I'm letting it go. That's a pardon. That's a pardon. Listen, when employed properly, forgiveness allows us to learn the lessons from the past without carrying around the painful baggage from the past. It's a leverage. We kind of leverage our past. The past, it was painful. But forgiveness allows us to learn the lessons without carrying around the pain. I don't know about you. I don't want to walk around hurting. And I believe no one else in here does either. Forgiveness is what allows you to leverage that. You can learn from it. See, some individuals think they walk in the forgiveness, but they're really in denial. So you haven't learned anything from your past. It's one reason why your past keeps repeating, because you haven't even learned the lessons. You've taken this kind of ultra spiritual approach of I just let it go, and I've moved on. You haven't, because you haven't learned from it. You've got to learn from it. You got to. Now, you know, some questions, you know, that would come up here, people would say, and you might be saying it. You don't understand what I've been through. And what was done to me, that the person doesn't deserve to be forgiven. I get that. I get it. I really do. You're thinking that, yeah, they just don't deserve it. But here's the reality. God believes we deserve it. So you may be thinking the person doesn't deserve it, but God says, no. You deserve it. You deserve to be free from this. And we see it right here in this scripture because he demonstrates, talking about God, he demonstrates first by pardoning us. He does that so that we never have to carry around our past ever again. Come on now, let's all now take our past from the mistakes that we've made. So let's not involve anybody else. All of us got past where we've made mistakes. And God says, here's what I did. I chose to pardon you so that you wouldn't have to walk around dealing with what you did in your past. Not another moment, because I understand if you walk around carrying that baggage, it's going to slow you down. And I don't want you living like that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm pardoning you. So now watch this. How insane is it then for us then to allow someone who hurt us in our past to be angry about it, so that then we carry around weight from our past, which God pardoned us from, so we can be free? God says, I freed you from your past, but now you're taking back on baggage from your past because of what somebody did to you. See, it's the same. If you hold on to your own baggage or someone else's, it's still weighing you down. And God says, I've forgiven you of yours. You have to forgive of what someone did to you. So it's not even a matter of whether do they deserve it. Do they deserve it? God says, you deserve it. Live free from your past. Decide to move on. This is where we have to come to, praise God. This is what God is calling for us to live in, praise God. A place where we can move on and be free. Come on, say it. Be free. Yeah. If we're going to refresh, we got to strip some stuff. And we have to completely let some things go. So release the past so that your past can release you. If you don't, it's going to continue to hold you. It's going to continue to strangle you. Release it so that it can release you. Or you see there also in your notes, pardon as you have been pardoned. Go first so you can go on. Come on, go. You just go first. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go fully and completely. Go first so that you can go on. But now here's an assignment, though, that I want to challenge us all to do. Because if you've been around here at all, and you've been a Christian any particular time, forgiveness is not anything new. We all know it. Part of the problem is just, like I said, we've still had a lot of old paint on the wall, so it's been hard for some of it to stick. But I think another issue that comes into play is what I'm going to talk about now. Because you could be here today and be like, yeah, I have forgiven. I kind of had my Bible verse. I quoted my verse, and I forgave them. But here's where, again, I'm talking about we have this horrible thing where we're not being honest with ourselves. But when we think of the person, this angst rises up in us. If somebody mentions their name, I got news for you. That's not forgiveness. You're fooling yourself. Yeah, you are. You're fooling yourself. Here's the assignment. Make a list of what the offender owes you. See, to pardon someone means that they robbed you of something. So make a list of what they robbed you of. Come on, make a list of the money they stole from you. Make a list of the innocence they robbed you from. Make a list, you know, of the fact that, you know, you never could have a healthy relationship with your parent because of what happened. Put it all down. Put it all down. Be specific. I don't know if I want to do that. It's going to stir up some emotions. Yeah, you're right. It is. It's absolutely going to stir up some emotions. But I believe if you apply this the right way from God's heart, not only will it stir up some emotions, it will also start to lose energy from controlling your life. When you then take that list and hold it to God, said, I released them. All that they owe me, I let it go. Be specific. Because there are some things that has happened to some of us that it will not be broken off of just a general forgiveness. You know how it is. You really don't even want to think about it. I forgive them and I move on. But you haven't moved on because you didn't really deal with it. Write it down. And then offer that unto God and say, God, I'm done. I release them. I release them. I don't hold them accountable to that at all. And think about it this way, too. What they owe you and me, absolutely can't. Most of it, they couldn't pay it back. I mean, if it's money, okay, maybe some money they could pay back, but parts of your life, they can't give you that back. So listen to this question. Answer this. How insane is it to wait your whole life to be paid back something that the person can't pay you back? So you're just going to stay in this constant place of anger when they can never pay you in the first place. You got to make a decision. You got to make a decision, praise God. Got to do it. You and I got to end. I just got to end here. You and I can be one of those remarkable people. Come on, we can be that. That no one would ever, you know, thought, you know, has dealt with such, you know, issues in the past. We can be that. Come on, we can be that. You can be a person that shines after the shame. You can be a person that conquers after catastrophe. You can be a person that ascends after assault. You can be that. But make no mistake about it, the only way to be that person is through forgiveness. And when we apply this the right way, ladies and gentlemen, the presence of God starts to take over our thinking and our lives. And he brings a refreshing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so wonderful. It is so amazing. So, Father God, we lift our hands unto you now. Come on, everybody with me. Help us in this moment, in this place today, Father, that we gladly and freely will release any injustice and hurt and pain that was perpetrated against us. Help us, Daddy, to be specific, to remember what was actually stolen from us. And then, Daddy, we trust your spirit on the inside of us that we can then offer it up unto you and issue an executive pardon to say that no longer will what has happened to me define me in any particular way. We trust you, Daddy, to help us all this week that we can strip this old stuff off the wall of our mind and our thinking and our hearts and our emotions so that the fresh coat of your word can fully saturate in and transform us. I give you honor for this now, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Listen. If there's been an issue with forgiveness in the past, just repent from that and strip it off now and do what I've employed. Please. Be refreshed. Be refreshed. Now, just bow your heads with me just one more time. Because I want to make sure that everyone in the house, you understand where all this sources from. It sources from Almighty God. He loves you. And he wants you to live a life refreshed. But even before you can issue the forgiveness properly, you need the proper strength to do that. And you get that from relationship with Almighty God. So if you're here with us early this morning, you don't really know God, have a strong, bona fide relationship with him. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Or if you're here, it's just like, yeah, I do. Wow, I've just let so much get in the way. Man, I got so much good news for you. Here's the first thing I want to tell you. God's not mad at you. He loves you. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So don't you hold any sense of guilt over your life, not another day. Be forgiven and free the way God has designed you to be. So if you want to make a decision today just to recommit your life, make a fresh start, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Just those two invitations out there right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. If you desire my prayers, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven right there where you are this morning? Thank you. God bless you. See a hand right there. Thank you so much for honoring God on this day. You can put your hand down. Let me look across the auditorium. Just so I don't want to miss anyone. If you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, go ahead, lift yours up too. So I know to also include you in on this prayer. All right. All right. Amen. Everyone right where you are, just lift up two hands under heaven, please. Father, we thank you so much for your continued presence. Thank you for transformation in our lives on today. I thank you, Father, for those who have raised their hand and invitation of wanting just to get to know you better, wanting to make a fresh start with you. Thank you so much for meeting them right where they are, filling them to the full so that they can accomplish your plan and purpose for their lives. I come against every foul demonic force that would try to hinder them and drag them back to their past or try to bring baggage from their past into their future. I say it shall not prosper. But from this day forward, they shall move on refreshed. I thank you for this and give you praise in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, if you raise your hand, please listen to me.